always, when we're talking football, you know, you got to go straight to the source. Chris Miller in studio. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, it's week four of the high school football season. We'll dive right into the games tonight on all the OTS Sports Network channels. And it gets underway with high school football tonight, right?
6 p.m. will be at District 3 Stadium. Alan Miller, you'll have Gene Knight out there ready to rock and roll.
Now, if you've never seen, if you're at these games, you should see them. They had, saw them at the South Point Northwestern game. Had a blast. These guys were like the ultimate tailgating party inside the stadium. They were just grabbing folks. It's a lot of fun to see that excitement live in person for sure. All right, let's roll right on in to York at Rock Hill.
York's had a couple weeks off to prepare for this battle against the Bearcats. They had their first victory a couple weeks ago. Rock Hill, meanwhile, they've won two in a row after starting the season 0-2. I think this will be closer than what people expect, but I do like the Bearcats to win this one.
All right, you can listen to that right here on WRHI FM 100.1 AM 1340. Let's look at Nation Ford at Indianland.
Yeah, Nation Ford's a team that started out 2-0. Everyone was had their eyes, oh my goodness, look at the Falcons. Then they lost to South Point. A lot of people expected that. Then were upset last week by Lancaster. That was the one where we took a step back and said, okay, what's going on here? Talked to Coach Allen this week, and he said the team just played very poorly against the Bruins. I think they come back and they show that they're a much better team than was indicated last week, and they knock off the Warriors in Indianland.
All right, you can listen to that on Interstate 107. Of course, that's FM. All right, Northwestern at Sumter.
Tough test for the Trojans. You look at what they've had to start the season. They opened up with South Point, then they had Burns, and they had Dorman. Then they had a very good Ridgeview team that they got their first win of the season on the road last week. This is their third road game in a row, and it is a long trip. Anyone who goes to Sumter, there's no real direct way to get there. There's two options. You can go the option which myself and Matt Hires will go. That means through Great Falls, across the dam, take the back roads, or you can take 77 to basically exit 9, hang a left, and drive.
That's so true,
that's
man.
Really the extent of how to get to Sumter. It's about a 2:15 hard drive. So for the team, it's their first real road trip of the year. And Sumter's a good football team. They're fast. They have athletes all over the field. They have Shrine Bowlers. This is going to be a tough one for the Trojans. Now, with that said, if Northwestern comes out and plays a complete game, which they haven't all season, they can win this game. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that against a very good Sumter team. I like Sumter to win this by about 7.
All right, you can listen to that on the Bridge 94.3. Let's look at Lancaster and Chester.
The Chester Cyclones were humbled 2 weeks ago by the Rock Hill Bearcats. Then they came back and answered with a 22-6 win last week to get back in their winning ways. Lancaster, meanwhile, that big upset over Nation Ford. Lancaster was winless coming into that game. I'm going to say Chester takes this, but it's going to be closer. I think the Bruins got some confidence last week after their one-point win over the Falcons.
All right, you can listen to that also on the Bridge 104.1. Let's look at South Point at Greenville.
You know, Gene Knight and myself had a long talk about this game during the Red Zone on Wednesday night. And a lot of people around the state are expecting this game to be close. He and I both agree. We think South Point's going to blow them out. A lot of people are saying, oh, Greenville's this. South Point's down. I don't know if South Point's down. I think it's just a different coaching philosophy from Devontae Holloman. He is a very, very defensive-minded coach. He has first-year co-offensive coordinators. I think he's comfortable playing the 24-10 game. That's just the way he likes to play. So I think this game will be something like that, you know, maybe 28-13, but it will be a very thorough 28-13 beating. It'll be one of those games the score does not tell the story. Really, it's about a 4 or 5 touchdown game, but because of the style South Point plays under head coach Devontae Holloman, I think it'll be about 15 to 17 points.
Oh, wow. All right, you can listen to that on Corporium Cable Channel 103. Let's also look at Fort Mill at Lugoff Elgin.
I like the Yellow Jackets to get the win here. The Demons, they've improved over the last couple years, but Fort Mill's shown me something in the last 2 weeks. First off, with their win over Lancaster 2 weeks ago, and then they played Camden tight. Yeah, they lost 43-28 to Camden, but their offense is coming around. I like the Yellow Jackets to get win number 2 and the second win under Coach Rob McNeely at Bob Jones Stadium.
All right, you can listen to that one on WRHI.com, then stick around, and then you can listen to the End Zone immediately after all the games.
On any network station right here on WRHI, Interstate 107, on 104.1, 94.3 The Bridge. You can also watch it live on Cable Channel 103 and 1103, as well as Facebook Live. You can see it there. And then if by some chance you miss it, you can hear it back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here on WRHI and 8 a.m. on 104.1 94.3 The Bridge.
All right, let's look at college football on Saturday, Clemson and Carolina.
Hey, you know, Dabo Swinney, you got to love some Dabo. Dabo came out on Tuesday and said, you know, hey, if we don't play really well, Charlotte can embarrass us. No, they can't. That no, even if you play bad, I mean, no.
Oh.
Just I appreciate the Lou Holtz in him.
Yeah,
you know where Lou Holtz. You
that's
know,
a good point.
I mean, that's the way Lou Holtz used to talk. I mean, it didn't matter who they were playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was at Notre Dame. Oh, we got to play Holy Cross. You never know. We got to play Holy Cross. Got to talk like Lou. But no, Clemson's going to wipe the floor with Charlotte. The game will be over midway through the second quarter.
It's just oh man.
South Carolina, meanwhile, going to Missouri. People are saying they're giving South Carolina 10 points in this game, so Mizzou's favored by 10. I don't see it. I really don't. I mean, Kelly Bryant, for all the talk about him, you can see once he lost all these receivers in this line and running game at Clemson, he's not the talent that he was at Clemson. He's played okay. I mean, they got beat by Wyoming a few weeks ago. I think South Carolina not only wins, but I think they win pretty big.
Wow.
Now, this will be our first road broadcast, so myself and Greg Brandon will do pregame and postgame actually from the WRHM studios here in Rock Hill, where our pre- and postgame will be from. So you can listen to that game on 107.1 starting at 1 p.m. Clemson, meanwhile, starts right here on WRHI at 4:30.
All right, and let's wrap it up with the Carolina Panthers real quick on Sunday, and let's talk about that real quick, and then, of course, the debut of Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, interesting. From Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera walked out of press conference yesterday. Now, in his defense, I hear him because the first five questions were about the status of Cam Newton. Everything he said, guys, I know nothing new. I'll know it later today. Why don't you ask me about something else besides Arizona or about Arizona, our opponent? Literally the next question was about Cam Newton. He was like, guys, come on. All right, we're done. And he walked out after 2.5 minutes. Now, he caught a bunch of flack, but at the same time, I almost want to say to media members, get a little more creative. I know people want information about Cam Newton. That's the storyline. But at some point, you're beating a dead horse.
Yeah, really, truly.
You really are. I mean, he said, I know nothing new. I have nothing new to give you. So my thing is, if you have no more questions, okay, our only questions are about Cam. So then hush.
Yeah. Great.
Instead of, you know, what you put a coach in that situation. And I watched the video. I thought he handled it well. I thought he didn't show his tail like some coaches do. He said, guys, we're done. I mean, there's really nothing else I can talk about. I wish y'all would ask me something else, but you don't want to know anything else.
Wow.
The Panthers are very likely going to start Kyle Allen on Sunday against the Cardinals, which will be interesting because the last time Kyle Allen was on the field in a regular season game, he blew up the Saints down in New Orleans. So he's a different type of quarterback. He's a pocket passer, going to sit back there and throw it around. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Again, taking on number one overall pick Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. And Mason Rudolph, you know, if you've read the stories and everything about him this week, the Steelers love him.
They do. I read an amazing article last night from the Associated Press, and they really just had great praise for him. The critics did, and then, of course, the fans really do like him.
And all that's great, but he's got to perform on the field. And I really think he will. I mean, I've said this a lot of times. I've covered a lot of players, and Mason Rudolph is up there in terms of one of the most top-notch young men I've had an opportunity to cover. He understands the game. He does well with the press. He gives back to the community. So if there's anyone you want to see succeed, it's him. And all of his teammates have said they like his swag. They like the way he goes about his business. I mean, I tweeted out a picture of he and Jadeveon Clowney together after the game, and then I tweeted this morning there's a picture of a video taken. He lines up his first ever snap, sees Jadeveon Clowney up there to the left, and he says Clowney looks at him and is kind of chuckling like, okay, here we go.
Oh,
and,
man.
Rudolph just looks at him, gives him a wink like, okay, I see you there, boss.
Yeah.
Oh, that
and
is great.
It's neat because those two guys never played against each other in high school. Mm-hmm. And I think the national media has missed out on that some. Jadeveon Clowney graduated before Mason Rudolph ever got to Northwestern.
Man.
So that was their first opportunity, two of the most heralded young men to ever come out of this town, facing off against each other for the first time. Again, Mason Rudolph's first career NFL regular season snap. There's Jadeveon Clowney out to his left. And it's kind of, you know, it had to feel comfortable for him.
Oh, yeah. That's
you can't
exciting.
Script it any better, though.
No.
And here's the thing, too. You know, I've heard a lot of people this week say, man, a lot's being made about Mason Rudolph being, you know, his first start. There's been other NFL players from our area that have made NFL starts, but no one's ever done it at the quarterback position. And that's why it's a big deal. He's only the third quarterback in South Carolina history, meaning they played prep football in South Carolina to start an NFL game. And let's face it, an NFL quarterback is the most important position in all of sports. Not only that, but he's playing for one of the top two or three franchises in all of the NFL. I mean, he's quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not the Tennessee Titans, not the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Making us proud.
Well said. All right, Chris Miller, as always, sir, thank you very much.